Today is May the 1st. And by the way, I don't have the etymology here in front of me, but May, if you're a Catholic, is the month of Mary. Okay, this is Our Lady's month. May is derived at some level from the name Mary. It's her month, and it begins with the solemnity of St. Joseph the Worker, the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker, which was declared in 1955 by Pope Pius XII. So when you hear this, you're not going to be catechized. This is not a catechism sermon. This is history, which is why I think it's worthy of playing, and then we'll talk about it, because to hear... You want to make sure that I got the right one in here. To hear the audible part of the history, the research that this particular priest has done, and to hear him kind of connect the dots is, I think, worth listening to, because this way you like Mr. Mundy says, know why things work. Why do things work on a starship? Well, why does the evil work the way it works? Okay, well, Father Hendricks is going to explain this to you. Go and get your tickets for the Congress. You can still get them. Get your T-shirts today. Go to Upon These Rocks, UPONTheseRocks.co, not com, .co. Get your tickets today. You can reserve your T-shirt. Today's the last day to reserve a T-shirt if you want one. They're really cool. Consider it also a kind of an in-kind donation if you do get a T-shirt. Here is all about May the 1st, why today is, as I said in the teaser, the most important day of the entire calendar year for heads of households, husbands, and fathers.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On May 1st, 1955, Pope Pius XII instituted the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker. That's the feast that we're celebrating today. In his address to the Christian Association of Italian Workers on that day, he said that it was his desire to give Christian baptism to May the 1st, so that it could be an annual reminder to the modern world that social peace will be brought about through the concrete and progressive triumph of Christian ideals. Now the question arises, why did Pope Pius XII choose May 1st for the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker, and not some other day? Why did that date in particular require what he called Christian baptism? Well, the most obvious reason was the one that he gave in that address to the workers in 1955. In that address, the Holy Father implied that the first day of May, which the world of labor had claimed for itself as its own proper feast day, was too often used to incite men to discord, hate, and violence. But what did the Pope mean by that? Well, he was referring to May Day, May 1st, which the first Communist International in 1889 had declared to be International Workers' Day. So it was the violence and atheism of the communists that Pope Pius XII wanted to counteract by instituting the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker on May 1st. But we need to see that this significance of May 1st goes much deeper than that. Because the question needs to be asked now, well then, why did the communists choose May 1st in the first place over any other date? What sort of importance would May 1st have for them? Well, there's probably more than one reason. Well, one of the biggest reasons is because the International Society that was the major forerunner of the Marxist Communist was founded and introduced on May 1st, 1776. On May 1st, 1776, Adam Weishaupt, an apostate from the Catholic faith, and at one time a professor of canon law at Ingolstadt in Germany, on that day, he founded the evil society of the Illuminati.
Ooh, it's getting interesting.
And the goals of the Illuminati were as follows. One, the abolition of all monarchies and ordered government. Two, the abolition of private property and all inheritance. Three, the abolition of patriotism and nationalism. Four, the abolition of family life and the institution of marriage. Five, the communal education of all children by the state only. And six, the abolition of all religion. May 1st, 1776, the goals of the evil order of the Illuminati, the ideas which radically influenced the horror of the French Revolution, and the ideas which radically influenced the Marxist communists. For although the Illuminati went underground because the Christian kings discovered their plan, their ideas again surfaced in 1848 in the Communist Manifesto by Karl Marx. The goals of Marxist communism is stated in the Communist Manifesto are practically identical, almost word for word, as those proposed by the Illuminati of Adam Weishaupt in 1776. But another question comes to mind now. If the Marxist communists chose May 1st as their feast day, as a continuation of the program of the Illuminati, then why did Adam Weishaupt in 1776 choose that day in the first place? May 1st. Well, it has to be borne in mind that many of the founders of the Illuminati and also revolutionary Marxism were occultists. They were anti-Christian and anti-Catholic to the core. Weishaupt was thoroughly involved with occult masonry. Karl Marx was thoroughly conversant with pagan mythology. So March 1st for them would be the perfect feast day to celebrate the overthrow of Catholic Europe and inaugurate world revolution. Why? Why would it be the perfect day for them? Because May 1st is one of the biggest and most ancient pagan feast days that there is. And it is still one of the highest feast days in the modern pagan and witchcraft movements in America and throughout the world. The Druids called it Beltane, in honor of Bel, their Celtic god of the sun. The witches in Germany celebrated it the night before May 1st and called it Walpurgisnacht, a blasphemous misuse of the name of Saint Walburga, the virgin niece of St. Boniface who helped evangelize Germany. But it was a night and a day set aside for sexual immorality, drunkenness, and diabolical and occult rituals. It symbolized the temporary cessation of all law and order so that sinful passions could be released. No work was done on that day or night, because all their attention was placed upon their sinful reveling and frivolity. A day of utter chaos and immorality in the social order. So May 1st, indeed, became the proper day to bring in an era of revolution and defiance against God and His order for mankind. And these programs of the Illuminati and Leninist Marxist socialism and neo-paganism are still very much with us today. Our Lady of Fatima called them the errors of Russia. She said that they would be spread throughout the world if her requests were not heeded. I listed six of the goals of the Illuminati at the beginning of this talk. And five of those six goals are almost a reality in America today. One, abolition of monarchies and all ordered government. Not following the Ten Commandments. in government. Two, abolition of nationalism to bring in a government of one world under the UN, an international government. Three, abolition of family life and the institution of marriage, and you know how they're trying to corrupt that. Four, communal education of all children by the state. They're trying to make that mandatory. And five, abolition of all religion, especially the Catholic religion, in any meaningful way, eh? In any meaningful way. Five out of six so far are more or less a reality in America today. Yes, it's still with us, but we don't talk about it, do we? So on this day, set aside by Pope Pius XII in honor of St. Joseph, we turn to the fathers here, and we address you. And first we'll address you with the words of Pope Pius XII in that address to the Italian workers, quotation. If you wish to be close to Christ, we again today repeat, go to Joseph. Yes, beloved workers, the Pope and the Church cannot withdraw from the divine mission of guiding, protecting, and loving, especially the suffering, who are all the more dear the more they are in need of defense and help, whether they be workers or other children of the people. This duty and obligation we, the Vicar of Christ, desire to declare again clearly here on the first day of May. The humble workman of Nazareth not only personifies before God and the Church the dignity of the man who works with his hands, but he is also the provident guardian of you and your families. Close quote. So as imitators of St. Joseph the worker, fathers of families here, I ask you today to heed the words of our Holy Father. Pope Pius XII in that address spoke especially about guiding, protecting, defending, helping, loving, and guarding. Because it must be remembered that the work of St. Joseph was not in the first place carpentry work. He did do that, of course, but that did not hold the primacy. In the first place, the work of St. Joseph was spiritual work. His soul was just before Almighty God. He was confirmed in the state of grace so that he could be a spiritual leader in the Holy Family and be a man who was accustomed to be looked up to, even by the Queen of Heaven and Earth herself, and yes, even by God himself, his foster son, Jesus Christ. Because the Father is the spiritual leader in the family.
Okay, so go to crusademax.com. There's 6 minutes left on that, and you can listen to the rest of it. I think you get the idea. First of all, great little history lesson there. Number one, I've never met him, but I think it's Father Hendricks. And he's in that order with Father Sean Shannon Collins and Father Sean Krasinski. In any event, what did he say? What I've been telling you all day long, ite ad Yosef, go to Joseph. Why? It doesn't matter your canonical status right now. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter whether you're in communion with Rome, as they say. Doesn't matter if you're an evangelical. Doesn't matter if you're a Buddhist. Doesn't matter if you're a Hindu. If you have a wife and you have children, it is upon you. God has charged you with the task of guarding and protecting and guiding them. They are your responsibility. Remember that? What was I reading last week? It was from the integralism. From integralism from Father Crean and Dr. Femister about how who is going to be judged more harshly, the ruler or the ruled? Well, the ruled are going to be judged. You're not going to get out of it to say, like, the devil made me do it or Caesar made me do it. That's not going to get you out of it. But if Caesar really did lead you to do it, if Biden really did kind of instigate it or intimate that you should or you could do it, it's okay, then that is also going to be on him. Same way it is in the family. So if you're leading your family and you're leading the family down the path to ruin with whatever it is that you're doing or not doing, you're going to be judged more harshly than they are because you had the chance to do something about it and you didn't. You failed. This is why it is important today that you know the history here and know why. And also, look at the arc of what's happening as we get near the end of liberalism. It is about to crash. It is crashing. It's claiming victims the world over. Millions and millions by the day. At the same time, there are victories that are being won out there. The victories are small victories primarily, and they are primarily happening amongst individuals, where individuals are saying to the, as he was saying, the evil Illuminati. The evil Illuminati are being told to go pound sand. I don't want what you're selling anymore. I used to buy it, but I'm not buying it any longer here. So there are these incremental, if you will, battles that are being won every single day. We must remember, ladies, dudes, I'm talking to you gentlemen now. We must remember that our wives and our daughters and our sons are counting on us to get it right. They're counting on you. They're relying upon you. And if you're not the kind of man that's leading in your household and leading like that, well, then you're not doing it right. So it's a great day to reflect upon that and then just to remember who could have been given a greater task in the history of the human race than the man that we call Saint Joseph today. As I was saying in the first hour when I was kind of joking about this, God rings you up and go like, hey, I chose her as the Immaculate Conception. She's going to bear my son, and you're going to marry her, and you're not going to touch her now. But when my son comes and he begins living as a human and Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, when he begins dwelling among you, I'm charging you with the task of protecting him from people like Herod. I'm also charging you with the task of teaching him a vocation and teaching him how to be a man. You know, I have a friend who shall remain nameless. I don't want to embarrass him, but he's a collector of Jesus art, and one of the and his all the art that he collects has a. Well, there's a lot of collectors out there, but his is very specific. All the art that he has that he collects is of the Jim Caviezel, Mel Gibson Jesus. He does not like the art that predicts that depicts our Lord as a dainty, as a little effeminate, skinny, as a sissy. If you know anything about it, if you've actually read Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich's detail, very detailed, or if you've seen the movie The Passion, you haven't read it, you've seen it. Mel Gibson did not know any of this until he started writing the script and getting ready to make the film, The Passion. And someone told him, you need to read Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. And Mel read it, and Mel went, the whole film then changed. The whole project changed because she details what they did to our Lord. A little 98-pound weakling that needs Charles Atlas to help him work out and stop getting sand kicked in his face does not endure the scourging, the bearing of the cross, the being falsely accused, the being nailed, as St. Peter says, being nailed to a tree. This is a manly man. So my friend does not collect dainty art of Christ. And there are people out there that depict. Yeah, he's dignified, but not dainty. He's not a sissy. It just shows, you know, the suffering. I was talking earlier about the film Nefarious. Take Kristen to go see that, Justin. You will not be disappointed. That's a great one for Tommy and Justin to talk about a creature feature, even though there's no real creature in it. There kind of is. To see what the demon does to the character that is Edward, who has been accused of the six murders and convicted of them, will break your heart. This is what you're up against, gentlemen. This is what the demons are capable of doing. This is what they do every day. And he tells the psychiatrist character, he tells him that, well, the psychiatrist is an atheist. He goes, I don't believe. And he goes, well, by the end of the day, you will. You will. And again, I don't want to spoil it because I want you to go watch it. But these things are related. And we're getting an awful lot, it seems to me. We're getting an awful lot of entertainment or stuff disguised as entertainment that's not entertainment at all. It's prophecy. It's revelation. That movie Nefarious is revelatory. It reveals. It reveals the truths that most people don't want to know. It shows the true character of the demon. It tells the story of why the demon does what it does. And then it shows you. It doesn't animate it. No green goos being spit, no heads spinning around in, in circles here, no levitating or anything. It shows you what that demon is willing to do to a human being once he gets his, once he's taken a soul. And again, my opinion, Sean Patrick Flannery, role of a lifetime. And he nails it. I'd go see it just to watch him again. There's so much nuance in how he portrays this character. Sometimes he's Nefarious the demon, and then sometimes, you know, every demon has a name. Well, that's the first thing that an exorcist tries to do is give me your name. Tell me what your name is. Because once he gets the name, then he can curse it and he can rebuke it. Another part about Nefarious that kind of relates to St. Joseph the Worker Day today, Nefarious continues throughout the whole film to relate to call our Lord the Carpenter. He keeps saying, and then the Carpenter, the Carpenter. It's again, I don't want to have to give a spoiler alert every 2 minutes here, but these things are related here. So on the feast of St. Joseph the Worker, just, you know, bear in mind that the evil that is out there, it does not care who it destroys. Its goal is destruction. Nefarious even tells the psychiatrist that he wants the earth rid of man. He wants all of us gone.
Because we were made in the carpenter's image.
Because we were made in the carpenter's image, and he wasn't. So on this, the feast, now you've gotten the history lesson. I encourage you again that you think about, and I think that this will maybe motivate some of you that are evangelical and other Protestant denomination brethren that love reading the gospel. Read that gospel again. Read St. Luke's narrative again. And think about what it is that God has tasked St. Joseph with. You know, the first part of St. Luke's gospel, basically he says, I interviewed people. Well, he interviewed Our Lady, the Mother of God. And she was effusive with praise for what the gospel called St. Joseph a just man. There's only two men in the Bible that are called a just man. St. Joseph is one of them. That he does lead the Holy Family. It's St. Joseph that makes the decision to fly into Egypt when the angel comes to him and says, Herod is coming to get the Christ child. Get him out of here. St. Joseph doesn't hesitate. St. Joseph then, and whenever you see Egypt in the Bible, the theologians tell us, and I think St. Augustine is one of them, the doctors of the church tell us, when you see Egypt, you can replace Egypt with evil. Egypt is almost always a symbol for something bad. So the fact that the angel says, take the child and his mother to Egypt, this is not the place that that the son, he was in the line of David and Jacob, he would not be thinking of going to Egypt, because he would have known that Egypt was not a friendly place to a Jew. He would have known, to a Jewish family. But, you know, again, we have another book in the Founders Trading Post, one by Paul Thigpen. I wanted to get Paul on today, and I forgot to ask him about St. Joseph and what we know. And there's a one that from Cecilia Beige that sister, the life of Saint Joseph, the real entity. When you read that, you get the whole kind of like Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich also followed the Holy Family into Egypt. You know, and you know, you know what's amazing? The Muslims or the Egyptian Muslims still to this day have places they won't go to. They won't touch them because they're terrified because the Christ child touched them. This is, I forget the name of the place. There's one particular, there's a stone, and the stone is teetering on it's a large stone, and it's teetering. It's kind of being balanced on a smaller stone. Well, the story is that it came rolling down the hill, and it was going to crush, you know, Satan put it down the hill, it was going to crush the Holy Family on their way to Egypt, and our Lord as a baby held his little hand up and stopped it in midair, and then parked it right there on the path, and it's been there ever since, and the Egyptians won't touch it. And if you look at the stone, and I forget where it is, there's a little tiny handprint on it. You can actually see the photograph. When Dr. Michael Hessman was on the show, we talked about Jesus of Nazareth. He relayed that story, that the Egyptians hold this tradition, that this is one of the things that happened. My point being that it was a dangerous place for St. Joseph to take the Holy Family, but he was not afraid. And he took it upon himself that he was the protector of our Lord. By the way, quick sidebar. Who won yesterday? Golden State or Sacramento? I'm just curious. My son was always, neither one of us, we can't stand Golden State. I don't follow the NBA anymore. But we were kind of watching the game at dinner yesterday afternoon. we were becoming Sacramento Kings fans, but it looked like they were going to... It looked like they were going to lose. In any event, back to the story here on the Mike Church Show on the feast of St. Joseph the Worker. Now, when the Holy Family is in Egypt, if you read Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich or any of the mystics that have visions of what they did, they went to a place that today we call Memphis, Tennessee. There's a place on the Nile River called Memphis. It's very, very fertile farmland, and I'm not sure why. But this is believed. This is the area where the Holy Family settled, and it was known throughout this area that they were Jews. And they didn't belong there, and there are people that were suspecting them all the time. But of course, you know, you've got God there, and He's not going to let anything happen. But Saint Joseph is always having to defend him, the Holy Family, to the Egyptians that want to kill him, and they don't. Who is it that makes the decision and leads the Holy Family back to Nazareth? Well, the angel, same angel, appears to St. Joseph in another dream and says, it is now safe. You can bring the child back to Nazareth, right? And so then the Holy Family reverses and they go back to Nazareth. And he begins, of course, he goes back to being a carpenter. You know, the next instance where we find the Holy Family and St. Joseph is when they go for the Pasch. They go to Jerusalem and they're on their way back. And Our Lady says, hey, where's Jesus? And they're all going like, I thought you had him. Well, I thought you had him. Well, I thought you had him. So they lost him. And then they go and they find him. He's teaching in the temple. And don't you know I had to be about my Father's work. But what does St. Luke say after that? And then he went down with them, and they came to Nazareth, and he was subject to them. God subjected himself to the authority in that house, in the holy house, to St. Joseph. So St. Joseph must have been one heck of a foster dad. I don't like these depictions of St. Joseph as this cantankerous, grizzly-looking 90-year-old.
Imagine being a carpenter back then. You didn't go to Lowe's and get your wood.
What's that, Maggie? Give me that Maggie minute. That's a good point.
I said imagine being a carpenter back then. It's not like they had a Lowe's where you could just go pick up a 2x4.
Yeah, St. Joseph didn't tell Jesus, hey, son, want to come to Home Depot with me? I gotta go pick out a couple of 2x8s. We need some beams. Yeah, your mother wants me to redo the roof. Let's go see if we can get some trusses. Let me go get a bag of nails down the street at Lowe's. You know, he taught him the trade. What do we also see in all of the Gospels? Our Lord, when he's in there in the temple and he's teaching, and he tells the in one instance the story of the Samaritan, and the Pharisees say, "Is this not the carpenter's son?"
So, you know, when you're thinking about this, well, I don't know why you make such a big deal. He's the terror of demons. And do you know where the terror of demons, I forget who actually was the first to start using the phrase or coined it, but the exorcist will tell you that he is the terror of demons, that they will invoke, that if you want to keep evil out of your house, I tell my sisters who have no use for the faith whatsoever, when they call me up crying that they think some demon's loose in their house, they want me to do something about it, I say, say the St. Michael prayer and tell your husband to invoke St. Joseph to protect you and the family. Always give them the same advice. It's never any different here. So on this, the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker, Pius XII, Father Hendricks didn't get into great detail. If you missed my introduction, you talk. By the way, 3 years ago today or 2 years ago today, what happened here in Covington, Louisiana? Tommy was there. Maggie was there. It was the opening day of the Congress, May 1st, 2021. Happened on the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker. What's the first thing that I said when I gave my little talk about what we were going to attempt to do was that, do you think it's an accident here that we called this Congress, came up with the idea and decided that the opening day would be May the 1st, the Feast of St. Joseph the Worker, just happened to fall on a Saturday the year that we were going to do it? So, you know, he's our patron saint of the Congress. So if you're coming to the Congress, ask St. Joseph for a little protection.